эфире «Арсенал подкаст» Ивана Меркурьева.
Good afternoon. Today we have an Arsenal podcast, and I would like to say very warm welcome to English Gunnar Oliver. Oliver.
Hello there.
Hello. Oliver, tell me please a few words about yourself. Where do you live? How long do you support Arsenal? Are you a season ticket holder? Something like that.
Sure. No, I live just outside London. Mm-hmm. I've always been an Arsenal fan, the way it should be. I've had a season ticket at the club since the season before Wenger joined. And I'm sure that is what people all just think leads me to have the views I have, but that's the way it is. And last few seasons I've been going to more away games as well. So, you know, I try and get to as many games as I can, which this season hasn't been so much fun.
Is this the worst season from the time you've been for the first time season ticket holder?
Well, I mean, statistically, I think it's the worst, you know, the worst start to the season we've had. I think as far as the fan sort of atmosphere is concerned, it probably is. You know, I don't remember going to games where there ever being the tension within the fans that there's been. I think it's been building for a few years, but obviously each year we go without a trophy, I think it's getting worse. As far as the team concerned, I think it's much of a muchness to last year. Obviously, we lost Robin. We were never going to replace Robin with one player. We've tried to replace him with three players. And I think, obviously we're not scoring as many goals, and at times it looks like we're never going to score in some games. I was at the Norwich game and the Villa games and away, and it just looked like we could have played that another 2 hours and we weren't going to score. It's definitely the most testing time I can remember as an Arsenal fan. And I think it doesn't help particularly that one of the clubs, especially at the moment, one of the clubs that's ahead of us in the league is Spurs. Obviously, it's never nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Oliver, let's go ahead, and I would like you to discuss with me several statements which I took from media, blogs, mm-hmm. the views of fans, and so on. So I prepared six statements for you, and okay. You will comment it. Okay. The first statement is huge. It's very big, so we will discuss it partly. So the statement number one. Arsenal Football Club has a policy of so-called special values. Arsenal's special values are the first one, and we discussed the first one, then second, third. First one, profits over trophies. Do you agree that this is Arsenal's special value?
And do I think I missed the beginning. I think I missed the beginning of that. My connection seemed to cut short.
Okay. Arsenal has a policy of so-called special values, as you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Arsenal's special values are, first, profits over trophies. Do you agree with it? Do you like it? This is an Arsenal policy, profits over trophies.
I don't think that's a policy. I think Arsenal have a policy of trying to be prudent financially, when unfortunately their rivals don't have to be. You know, I'm not necessarily one of these people that thinks, oh, when financial fair play comes in, that'll be the end of these clubs. I mean, obviously they'll work a way around it, and UEFA will make sure that they work a way around it. They're not going to have a Champions League without Chelsea and Barcelona and Real Madrid and Man City. So I just think Arsenal are very prudent. They are trying to do business the way they have always done business. And interestingly enough, I think Wenger was saying on the Arsenal website yesterday, it's becoming harder, but we need to try and do what we've been doing to compete. I think, unfortunately, to truly compete, I mean, let's not forget, first of all, that we did come third last year. So as far as sort of Chelsea and Spurs and Liverpool and all these other teams that do spend a lot of money, we beat them in the league last year. But to, you know, to truly compete to be coming first or second, or preferably first, I think the Arsenal way isn't going to work. I think we have to spend big. You have to pay over the odds, which Arsenal don't like to do. You know, you're going to have to buy players that you don't, you know, for more than they're worth, pay them more than they're worth. I think in that respect, Arsenal's issue is that, you know, there's not the money to give to the big players because they're paying the smaller players too much. But, you know, that's a separate thing. I mean, you look at Man City, for example. They bought Jack Rodwell and Scott Sinclair this summer. I think Rodwell might have played half a game. I'm not sure if Scott Sinclair's, you know, even got into the tracksuit yet. So if Arsenal need to be willing to do that sort of business, to buy players, to speculate, to accumulate, you know, I mean, Man City are going to be there or thereabouts. I think they'll probably win the league. But to say I think they're putting profits ahead of trophies, I disagree. I think they're trying to do business the way they've always done it in a football environment which has changed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. The second special, William. Arsenal have the most world's expensive tickets.
Yes, well, I mean, you know, that's pretty factual. I can't necessarily argue with that fact. What I would say is...
Yes. Your opinion on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, they do have the most expensive tickets, definitely in Europe, and I imagine the world. And, you know, they are a London club. You're going to pay more if you're a London fan. Mm. They started at a very high... You know, they while we were successful in, you know, winning the doubles, 98... 2002, unbeatable season, that sort of thing. Obviously, the price went up. The price hasn't gone up in line with general prices, just referring it to inflation, you know, in simple terms. But and they're never going to come down. I think it's unrealistic to think that Arsenal, you know, the club are going to turn around and say, you know what, we didn't compete for the top two. We're going to lower our prices. The most they'll ever do is keep it at the same level. Which, again, you know, as much as fans have to realise that their relationship with the club, you know, what they want of the club and what the club is going to do for itself are two very different things. I don't think that's a new phenomena, that fans are going to be ignored by their football clubs. You know, Arsenal have always... Arsenal and all clubs have always made their ticket prices as expensive as they think they can get away with. They just happen now at Arsenal to be the most expensive in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The third one, Special William. 30% stake in the club is not enough to get even one place in board. What do you think of this? It's a question of Usmanov, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I think... I'm really not sure what, you know, the way I want Arsenal to go with this one. I've actually, you know, sort of said in the past that, and, you know, as I was alluding to earlier... The fact is, we're trying to do business a very different way to other clubs. You know, if you look at Chelsea with Abramovich, for example. And, you know, it's clearly not working for us. And as much as I hate the idea of having, you know, an oligarch or whatever come in and just throw money around, you know, look at the way people view Chelsea. But it's been successful. And the fact is, I think we have to, you know, rather than going on about Arsenal's class and history and all that sort of thing, the fact is, the likelihood is to compete. We need Usmanov to throw money around, for everyone to despise us, everyone to hate us, to sack managers, you know, for because he loses his first two games, you know, to sack managers like Chelsea did with Avram Grant for getting them to a Champions League final, losing on penalties. He actually took them from sixth in the league that season to second. If it wasn't for Mourinho's bad start, his team would have won the league, you know, and then they sack him. So, you know, we laugh at Chelsea for that, but actually that's what we want if we want Usmanov. You know, Usmanov's not going to be any different. I think to suggest that he's going to come in and be, you know, spend good money and buy good, you know, as I say, look at Man City. They've just bought two players that are probably never going to play for them. They did the same with Adam Johnson. Chelsea spent 50 million on Telles. You will have to waste money in order to be successful. And the fact is, I mean, let's be honest, so far our experience with that has not been... you know, Arsenal fans have not liked it. you know, a few years ago, I can't remember the year now it was, when we were struggling for fourth and Aston Villa were playing very well.
Mm-hmm.
We went out in the January and we bought Arshavin. So we'd had three good games in the European Championships. We paid 15 million for him. We now pay him 90 grand a week. And everyone's saying, oh, why are we paying him 90 grand a week? He doesn't do anything. Well, you know, if Usmanov came in, we would have players on more than that doing nothing in the same way that Chelsea do, in the same way that City does. So, you know, we have to be careful what we wish for in some respects. But I do think the way football is going, there's only going to be more and more foreign ownership. I think if West Ham get the Olympic Stadium, I'm sure someone will come in for them in the same way that, you know, once City had the City of Manchester Stadium. It's a great club to then take over. So I think there's only going to be more and more of these people in the game, which is, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing is not really what we're discussing here. So I think, you know, Arsenal probably do need Usmanov to come in sooner rather than later if they really want to compete for titles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Let's discuss Arshavin, because you mentioned him now. So what do you think on his Arsenal career? Did manager try to get out the best of Arshavin?
You know what? It's funny. I loved Arshavin when he came to the club.
He scored first goal at Liverpool.
Yeah, well, you know, I was at the Liverpool, you know, the 4-4, and I just thought, you know, this guy is just brilliant. And I actually still think he's completely underplayed. I think he's probably nil-nil in a game, you know, 0-0 away at Villa, who would I want to bring on? I'd want to bring on Cazorla. Arshavin. You know, I'd take off Cazorla. I'd want Arshavin on the pitch. I just think he makes things happen. And, you know, he gives the ball away. He doesn't always track back. But, you know, I'm not putting him quite in this class, but you look at someone like Cristiano Ronaldo, he's allowed to be selfish for the good of the team. And I think, you know, I say he's not as good as Ronaldo, clearly, but you need to have a player like that. If we want to go and risk it and spend a load of money to do well, we also have to risk it on the pitch. And sometimes you need a player who's just got an exceptional talent that you say, okay, well, don't always track back. And the interesting one for me is when Chelsea played Barcelona, when they went through last year to the final of the Champions League final. The goal they scored right at the end, the Torres goal, he came on for Drogba, and I said to people I was watching the game with, I said, they're going to lose now because Drogba's work ethic is fantastic. He was playing, I think, basically left back. And the goal, the Chelsea goal comes from Torres not tracking back, not doing his job. It gets, you know, smashed up the field by Cole or Cech, whoever it was, and he's free on the halfway line. So sometimes, you know, it does pay off to take a few risks, and it's not going to pay off every time. But for me, Arshavin has been completely wasted by Wenger. You know, he's played him on the left wing when clearly his best position, and the position that he played so well for Russia, as far as I remember, was behind a striker.
Yes.
You know, through the middle. I think, you know, he can take players on. He's not afraid to take players on. And, you know, you're not going to get round the player every time, but you have to try. And Arsenal's problem at the moment is this: everything sideways. No one's dynamic enough to sort of take on a player. You know, maybe Chamberlain tries every so often, but, you know, Arshavin was willing to lose the ball 9 times out of 10 to score the goal the 10th time. And when Arsenal have so much of the ball, that's plenty. I think it's a real shame because also, you know, the fans have got on his back because, as I say, he's earning a lot of money. His demeanour suggests that he doesn't care. But I think the fact that he's always, you know, we've tried to offload him. I think, you know, he's clearly happy to stay, whether it's at Arsenal or just in London, is a different issue. But, you know, he clearly wants to be in London. And I just think it's a real shame. You know, he's such a talent. For me, still our most creative player. And through playing him out of position, we've really ruined him. You know, I mean, to be honest, the likelihood is if he would have kept up any sort of form, he'd probably be at Barcelona or City now, so he wouldn't be getting the benefits. But, you know, I think it's a real shame. I'm a really big fan, and I hope he stays in January. And
No, definitely not, I think.
Sorry?
Definitely not.
You think he's gone?
Absolutely.
That'll be back to Zenit, or...?
No. I think Fulham, Reading, something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be a real shame, and I think, and I'm sure it will come back to bite us if he goes into somewhere in the Premier League.
Definitely. This is, I'm sure for 200%.
Yeah.
That we would have a problem against him. Okay, the fourth special value is of Arsenal policy is the club is run by a football coach and general manager is run by a manager. Do you agree with this?
So what? So that Wenger basically runs the club?
Yes, yes. And runs Ivan Gazidis also.
I think clearly Wenger has more influence than a lot of other managers. You know, it's difficult to compare him to managers abroad where, you know, they have directors of football and it's a slightly different setup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he clearly has a lot of influence at Arsenal. I do think, you know, I mean, I know it's sort of a line brought out a lot, but I do think he misses David Dean to do some of the negotiations for him. Gazidis, I mean, you know, Gazidis is an extremely successful guy, you know, within the, you know, within the football sphere as well. Maybe not running a football club, but, you know, his work with the MLS was, you know, is widely, you know, credited. So I wouldn't say that they run the club on their own. I think there are, you know, there's clearly more people involved.
No, definitely yes, because it's more than 300 employees in the club.
Yeah, I mean...
But who is making decisions?
Footballing decisions, I think, is probably...
Each decision.
Sorry?
Each decision.
Well, I think the footballing decisions are Wenger, you know, on the whole. Mm-hmm. I think that he identifies the players he wants with the help of his scouts. You know, I mean, Arsenal have got a huge scouting network. And the idea that they're not doing anything would be rather, you know, rather worrying. You know, obviously we've got Grimondi for France, and you know, lots of people around the world helping him out. I think Danny Carbassian's still working for Arsenal in some capacity over in the US. So you know, he's clearly got a network there of people that are identifying players. As far as how much we pay people and how much we pay for people, mm-hmm. I think he maybe says how much he thinks they're worth. And as I said earlier, I think maybe Arsenal sometimes think, well, actually, if that's what we think they're worth, we're not going to pay any more, which is very small.
Arsenal who?
Well, I imagine Gazidis and whoever does, you know, I imagine Gazidis has a huge hand in it. But as far as deciding how much they're worth, I wouldn't necessarily want the CEO of my business as a football club telling me how much a footballer is worth. You know, even Gazidis is not a talent spotter. He's not as much as he understands the game and the way the game works and the business of the game. He doesn't understand how the playing of the game works. So, you know, I'd be disappointed if he was sort of identifying players and saying, oh, he's worth this amount, he's worth that amount, we'll pay him this. Also remember Arsenal... You know, I think contract negotiations is not as simple as how much do you want per week. You know, it's how much do you want per week, what happens when you don't come on as a sub, how much you want to get paid if you do come on as a sub, if we win, if you score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, so I'm sure there's teams of lawyers involved on both sides of the negotiation to bind, you know, or to credit Wenger and Gazidis purely with purchases and sales. I don't think would be right. You know, clearly, you know, sometimes it comes down to the player. You look at someone like Adebayor. For me, you know, I mean, all footballers are mercenaries, but for me, he is, you know, one of the worst. But we knew that when we bought him. You know, he goes on strike to join Arsenal. So is it any surprise he caused trouble to leave Arsenal? You know, I think that sometimes needs to be looked at. Same with Nasri, you know. Bora Primorac gave evidence against Nasri's agent in a football match fixing case before he came to Arsenal. Is it any surprise that the agent then encourages him to screw Arsenal over? Well, not really. You know, I think we need to maybe be taking those things into account as well. But no, I mean, clearly Wenger has a lot of influence, but I don't think that's necessarily the bad thing. He picks the players for the games. He chooses how we play.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The fifth special value is the directors of the club didn't invest even one penny in the club, but all of them got a financial benefits.
What, with regard to... Are we talking about the...
Directors, people like Peter Hillwood.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Hillwoods have been in the Arsenal, in, you know, the Arsenal family, if you like, for three generations. I understand... Yes. Peter Hillwood is, you know, obviously is ill at the moment, which is a great shame. We wish him well. I think his comments of the last few years have, you know, he's clearly losing touch, if he ever had it, you know, which is also a debate with the Arsenal fans. I mean, to say, you know, thank you for your interest in our affairs was you know, rude, to say the least, and I think completely off the mark. But I mean, you know, that's... He's been involved in the club. You know, I mean, look at that. You know, David Dean, everyone, you know, and I've said it myself, you know, looking at David Dean, put, you know, sort of a few hundred quid into a small club, yet which he then built. So, you know, these people put money into the club when it wasn't worth as much. It's only worth as much as it is because of the way the club has then managed to go on and be successful. I think it's also important to remember that the value of their shares is not a realised value. I mean, if I was Usmanov, for example, I think if he wants to buy the club, as far as I understand it, he has to pay the highest price the share has been bought for in the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't do that now. I would wait until, you know, if he thinks we are going to drop out the top four, you know, wait until that happens because the club won't be worth so much. And if all of a sudden he waits three or four seasons and then maybe we've done a Liverpool and we're sort of, you know, competing for sort of mid-table, surely that's when he'll buy the club. And then, you know, I think you'll realise that the money, you know, Kroenke's hasn't got such a great return on his investment. And, you know, other people on the board haven't made so much money as they thought they were going to. So
They do. They did already make money. They don't have even one share, the board of directors. Nobody has a shares except Kroenke.
Hmm.
They all sold their shares to Kroenke.
Oh, they've all sold their shares to Kroenke. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That those that have sold their shares, like, you know, like Dean did to Usmanov, Lady Nina Bracewell-Smith, you know, they the share. I mean, again, Nina Bracewell-Smith, I think, inherited her shares from her husband, as far as I understand. But you know, that's just a quirk in some respects. You know, she was well within. She's not. She's involved with the club, to expect her to, you know, it was her, I'm pretty sure the shares came from her late husband, you know.
Ole, I'm sorry, you missed the point. The point is that the guys sold their shares and they are nobody now. But they are still directors of the club.
I see what you're saying.
This is the point. This is the special value.
Oh, that they have no
interest. They don't have shares. They sold shares, but they are still all in their positions. Not Bracewell-Smith, of course, because she was out 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Mm. Well.
Barr, Hillwood, Chesek.
I don't necessarily see that as an issue. I mean, these people have been on the board for a while, as you know, as I understand it, and they've seen plenty of successful times at Arsenal. I don't think there'd be necessarily any reason to to change that.
I understand. Okay, let's go to six and the last point of special values.
Yeah.
Another statement. The sixth point is, the manager is paid $7.5 million a year for the fourth place competition, and the manager's salary exceeds annual debt repayment.
Yeah, well, I mean, Wenger, I think, is the highest paid manager in world football.
Mm-hmm.
It's
like that. Maybe Mourinho.
Maybe. I say I'm not even sure if that. I think maybe even more than Mourinho. So clearly, you would think that would be linked to success. The one thing I would say for Wenger, in defence of Wenger, is that he, although he is now the highest paid manager, he has stayed at the club when he has had better offers in the past. You know, I mean, I can't disagree with the fact that that's how much he earns, and it's a lot more than other managers. If what you're saying is that right? Well, I wouldn't be looking to get rid of him because of how much he earns. You know, if we're looking to be big time as our fans are, and if we're looking to pay over the odds for players, pay them wages that they're not worth, then, you know, let's start with the manager. Why not? I mean, that's all we're going to do on the playing field. So I don't necessarily see it as an issue. We can't complain that we don't spend any money and then we have the most expensive manager complain. You know, only one team can win the league. You know, if you look at You know, Chelsea will think they should win the league. They've spent £1 billion. City will think they should win the league. They spend sort of £200 million every year, it seems. You know, only one of those teams can win the league. And as much as, yes, there's the FA Cup, and yes, there's the League Cup and the Champions League, you know, the best team wins the league for me. And if Chelsea won the FA Cup and nothing else, I don't think the club would be like, well, you know, that's success. I think when you spend £1 billion, you need to be winning a bit more than that. So, you know, I think it's hypocritical of Arsenal fans to complain at him earning so much when that's what they want. They want us to go out and spend money, paid premiums, in order to be successful. The other question is whether I think Wenger is worth it, which in effect is whether I would like Wenger to stay at the club. And I think personally, while we're getting into top four or third as it was last season, then yeah, I don't think there's anyone out there that can do a better job. And I'd rather pay him over the odds to get us third than pay someone less to take us fifth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have another statement on the financial side, on Arsenal spendings.
Yep.
The statement is, Arsenal was not financially constrained when building new ground. According to Deloitte annual reviews of football finance, Arsenal spent in 2005-2009 on net transfers plus wages 92% from the same Man United spending. Given the trophy draft, it means that Arsene Wenger had money but spent it badly. For example, in 2009, Abu Dhabi earned more than Real's Madrid Sergio Ramos. The figures from Deloitte we are not in position to discuss. It's pointless. It's a very famous, well-known auditor, and it's an auditor of Arsenal Football Club. Mm-hmm. So in 2005-2009, Arsenal spent on transfers plus wages, net transfers plus wages, 92% from Man United spending. One nothing, and Man United won, I don't remember, seven trophies, 11, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Yeah. So the idea, you understand. Do you agree with it? That Arsenal was not financially constrained, but spent badly.
I definitely agree, as you know, as I said earlier, that Arsenal's wage structure is completely flawed. You know, when you have players like Danilson on £50,000 a week, which means you then can't spend more on your big players. I've said for a while now, I think that's an issue. How they get around the issue, I don't know, because the fact, you know, you've got Danilson sort of almost just running out his contract in Brazil at the moment.
That we pay almost 100% of his wage.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, you know, it's an issue which, you know, we can't afford just to pay him off. But at the same time, no one's going to buy him when he's expecting that sort of wage. And, you know, for him, he's now playing, you know, fairly regularly, as I understand it. He's still earning, as you say, the majority from Arsenal. So, yeah, I mean, it's an issue. It's a big issue, which I feel now is too, I mean, the only thing they can do now is stop that policy of paying players a ridiculous amount when they're not doing, you know, when they're not really involved with the team or not really worth it. As far as transfers are concerned, I must disagree. I don't think he's necessarily spent that badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously he's made a lot of profit on players, but again, you know, we're not here to make profit. We're here to keep our best players, but if you just look purely financially, the deal for Nasri doubling up, you know, in a short space of time, the money we made on Adebayo, the money Touré, you know, yes, it's a problem we're getting rid of our best players. But I say, if you look purely financially, the business has been good. You know, Van Persie did the dirty on the club by basically saying he wanted out. Cesc made it very clear that he was only going to go, you know, hindered by the players themselves in some respects. But yeah, I mean, I think the other thing when comparing to United is we have to be very careful. As much as, you know, Arsene Wenger for Arsenal, for English football, for, you know, everything is a fantastic manager. And especially when he came to the country, you know, revolutionised the game in this country, the diet of the players, you know, other such things.
Oliver, I'm sorry. Do you really follow the diet of the players, or you follow the results?
I think what I was going to say is that Wenger's problem is that when he came over, he was doing things differently. Mm. Now everyone does things the same, and he's lost his competitive advantage, which was that we just had a different way of doing things. You know, and I'm not saying he was, you know. Look, I think it was in the 80s, I can't remember the name of the manager, there was a Villa manager that tried the same, and everyone laughed at him because it was just too early. It just wasn't the time. You know, 80s footballers were still smoking, drinking, eating what they want. You know, it was just the wrong time. So, you know, he wasn't the first to try this. I think he was just the first to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say is that to compare, as good as a manager or as great as a manager he has been, to try and compare him to Ferguson, it's just not fair on Wenger. Alex Ferguson is by far and away the greatest manager of all time. You know, he's rebuilt his, you know, when Arsenal won the league in 04, then Chelsea 05, 06, to come back and then win the league, I think it was again two or three. You know, it's just unbelievable. So to compare him to that United side, I think is a little harsh.
Why?
Because I just don't think you can compete with Alex Ferguson. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can compete with Alex Ferguson and his ability and a manager. I mean, even look now, you know, the team he's got is nowhere near as team as good as the team he had. Similar to Wenger, you know, there's no Ronaldo, there's no Van Nistelrooy, there's no Keane, there's no goalkeeper, you know, at all. He's got Van Persie and Rooney, but
they're still on first place, yes.
No, exactly my point. Exactly my point. And Wenger just hasn't managed to do the same. He's also got a much worse team, partly through his own, you know, his own mistakes that he's made.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been able to do that. I think Alex Ferguson is, you know, is just on a different planet to any other manager currently or previously. So I think it's a little bit of a difficult comparison. That's not to say, you know, I'm making an excuse for Wenger. Clearly, over that period, we haven't competed. What I would say is that, you know, we did get to a Champions League final, and on the, you know, once it's there on the day, anything can happen. I'm gonna try not to mention the League Cup final, but you know, we've come close in the league. I think, you know, when the season Eduardo got injured, you know, I think we were close that year, I must say. And I was at that Birmingham.
It was last time we have a real team.
Yeah, and you know, that was, I think, 08, was it? So, yeah, I mean, it's too long ago. But
5 years ago.
Yeah.
5 seasons ago.
You know, but Arsenal have gone much longer without winning the league before. What they haven't done before, I think on average, Arsenal win a major trophy, if you look at the league, FA Cup, League Cup, and European trophies, on average about every 4.5 years. So, you know, it's clearly a long time, the period that we've gone. But you know, I think there's two sorts of Arsenal fans at the moment, both of them frustrated. There's the Arsenal fans that are frustrated because our team is not as good as it was, and in which case you have to give credit for Wenger for keeping them relatively competitive. And then there's fans such as myself that are frustrated because actually I don't think the team's as bad as everyone else thinks. I think they've got a great potential, and I don't think Wenger's necessarily always getting the best out of it. You know, as much as he talks about his squad, he's very reluctant to use it. You know, it's funny, I know everyone was laughing at him for saying the players were tired, you know, already in November. But you saw when they got the week off, you know, when they then played West Brom, a lot brighter, you know, when they didn't go to Olympiacos. Why he then played them against Bradford, I don't know, but that's another issue. You know, I just think at times he's overworked his first, what he sees as his first 11, and players like Arshavin. You know, I would still have Bentner at the club. Even players like Shamak. You know, these players are not going to play to their best when they play once every 5 months. You need to play them more, you know, fairly regularly to get the best out of them. And let's not forget, Shamak in his early days at the club was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're your two sort of fans. One saying that the players aren't good enough, in which case you have to credit him for keeping us relatively competitive, and those actually they are good enough and he needs to get more out of them.
Okay, we have a next statement. Arsene Wenger lost the plot completely. He cannot coach the team properly. He can't motivate the players. He can't manage the game from the bench. He doesn't prepare for the games, and he totally lost dressing room. And the conscience man would resign after 2-8 at Old Trafford, or 0-4 at San Siro, or at least after Bradford. Arsene Wenger didn't do it because he wants lifetime job at Arsenal, regardless of team results. Do you agree?
No, I definitely think he definitely seems to be making more mistakes. I don't think there's any doubt of that. He's not going to walk away mid-season. I just think, you know, that's just really not an issue. He's not going to do it.
Why?
I just think that he's got too much trust in his own ability and in the ability of his players. Look, this time last season, I said Arsenal could come third, and people laughed at me, saying we'd be lucky to come in the top half. Now, clearly, this season is worse again, but I still think we'll make top four, so I can't agree, because I just don't think, you know, losing to Bradford in some ways could work out perfectly for Wenger. It didn't cost us any league points, and it forces his hand now. The way the fans have reacted, and rightly so, you know, a very angry bunch, but, you know, we should not be losing that game, especially with the team he had, that he played. He will act, I'm sure of it now, in January. Even if, it's a sort of like an Arshavin type sort of, someone that all the papers are talking about, so we bring him in, and all he does is help us into the top four, and then sort of sits and does nothing for the rest of his Arsenal career. You know, I'm sure he will buy more. You know, Thierry will come back, but I'm sure he'll do more than that. He will bring in someone or two or three players maybe to rectify the position. So I think actually that Bradford game, considering it didn't cost us any league points, could actually be the wake up call he needed.
But it cost us reputation, no?
Sorry?
It cost us reputation.
Yeah, but
reputational losses are usually more important than points losses.
Sorry, what more, sorry?
Reputational losses are more important than points losses.
I think, you know, by the weekend there'll be another, you know, something will happen this weekend and people will forget Bradford. You know, I think the way the media works now, every game, every time there's a game, what happened the week before is completely forgotten. I mean, even if you look at, you know, we lost to Swansea, we were absolutely dire. We then beat West Brom and all of a sudden, you know, because Spurs happened to lose on the same weekend, it tightens us up, we're right back in there. You know, it's such a short-term view, which is also where I think a lot of the criticism of Wenger comes in. You know, last season, the fact is, we came third. We came ahead of a team that spent £1 billion, and we came behind Manchester United, which, as I say, I think with Ferguson is, you know, is no great shame, and then the richest club in the world. So, you know, as much far as their spending capacity is concerned. So, you know, I don't think there is any shame in that. And I don't think that's me showing a lack of ambition. I think that's being me being fairly realistic. You know,
realistic on what?
That at the moment.
On money spent or on what?
We're not in a position.
What is reality?
We're not in a position to compete for the league. What? And I think also why? Also, because we don't have the financial capacity to.
But we have 2 billionaires amongst our shareholders.
So there's all. I think the issue that people all have is that there's, and failing to understand this, is that, you know, I mean, Usmanov is richer than Abramovich. You know, I think that's also fairly well documented. But he's nowhere near as rich as the sheikhs in charge of Manchester City. Arsenal could come in. I mean, rumours I know, but the idea that they've sort of tabled £200 million bids for Ronaldo in the last couple of transfer windows, I wouldn't be surprised if they were correct. You know, Arsenal don't have that capacity. We could go in and say, you know what, in January, say we're lying 10th in the table, we're going to go and spend, you know, 60 million.
Mm-hmm.
So we could look at, I mean, we would look at someone, and there's no reason why, you know, Man City could come in and double the offer. I mean, the fact that they bought players like, you know, they don't need Rodwell, they don't want Rodwell, they don't need or want Scott Sinclair, but they'd rather have them earning £100,000 a week, sitting, doing nothing, never playing,
because,
then them going
because
to a
they need home ground players. This
Sorry?
They need home ground players.
Who, Manchester City or Arsenal?
Manchester City. That's why they bought English players this summer. It's not a question of quality players. It's a question of rule. So.
Oh, you mean to fit their squad?
No. Yes, it's a different story. You said that Arsenal cannot compete. I asked you, why Arsenal cannot compete? Why? What's the problem? Arsenal didn't spend money. This I understand. Because last summer, if you remember, Wenger also made the profits. Yeah. So he sold more than he bought. So it means that Arsenal didn't invest in the team once again.
No, look, I mean, this summer we've spent money on Giroud, we've spent money on Cazorla,
Of course, but this was only money from sales.
From sales, yeah.
Only. And we've got a profit around 10 million on net transfers once again. It means that Arsenal do not invest money in the team. So, they buy the players, of course.
I think I know it's not our jobs and we're not scouts and we don't have the insight that the people in football have. But I, from what I can see of the players that have been bought, on the whole, what I imagine Wenger just didn't think there was any value out there. If people really want us to become a club that literally don't care how much they spend on a player, I mean, if you look early on in the season, Cazorla was apparently our best buy. I think that's, he already looks tired. He already looks like he's not up for it. I don't think he's necessarily the player we hope. He's clearly got some great touches.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he's going to do enough is another issue. And I think players that have been bought around the Premier League have been the same. Hazard did very well early on, but when the chips were down, not really the sort of player you need in your side. And let's be honest, I mean, Chelsea have gone out and bought Victor Moses. If Arsenal have gone out and bought Victor Moses, now, this isn't a slight on him at all, but if Arsenal would have gone out and bought Victor Moses, would the fans have said, oh, it's a good buy, or would they have said, we lack ambition? If we would have gone out and tried to get Rodwell, tried to get Scott Sinclair, I think the fans still wouldn't have been happy. I think the fundamental problem with Arsenal is not the players we've got. I think he's bought good players. Is that for whatever reason it is, when you put these good players together in the current Arsenal setup, it doesn't work. I mean, I don't think it helps that we're playing most of them out of position. I mean, you look at Bradford, we had Podolski on the left when he should be in the middle, Jovinho through the middle when he should be out wide.
Well, he should be on the bench.
That's another issue, yeah. And again, Rel Ramsey out wide when he's arguably should be on the bench or in the middle. So I don't think the players...
You think Ramsey should be in our team at all?
Do I think?
Generally speaking, yes.
I was there with the Stoke game when he broke his leg. And I think partly for that, clearly sentiment comes into it.
We all felt for him.
I think that's why, although Arsenal fans have a go at him, they are reluctant because they realise how hard that period must have been for him.
Okay.
But clearly at the moment, he just seems a little lost. I think, I don't like the phrase trying too hard, but, he's very slow to get rid of the ball. I wouldn't have him in my first team. I'd hate to see him leave the club.
Why?
I am a fan of his. I'd like to see him stay. I think he's getting a bit overused at the moment.
Understand. Okay. Now, my opinion is that Ramsey can't play in English Premier League at all. Not in Arsenal, of course. But even in Reading, he is not capable to play now. And this is a professional sport. If you can't play, so you must go. I don't know, to Championship or to Bradford, but this is obvious, and I don't
understand why
he is signing a new contract now, at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of Wenger's problem is, and I agree with you, I think we have to be ruthless, and we're clearly not ruthless enough as a club, and I think that partly comes down to Wenger, that he definitely sees his players as more than players to him. I think he builds a relationship with them which is special, which is nice, when you have to be ruthless, it's not necessarily the best. I feel sorry for Wenger. He's shown a lot of loyalty to his players, and unfortunately they've not shown it back to him. That's not a surprise. We all know footballers are out, as we all are, as much as any of us may enjoy our jobs, if we got offered double the money to work somewhere else, we'd go. Of course we would. And it's not going to be any different with footballers, and it's unfair to expect more of them just because they earn more anyway. But, you know, he has shown a lot of faith in his players. He's shown a lot of loyalty to these players. He's shown a lot of loyalty to the club. I know, as I say, now clearly it's worth his while. He's the highest paid manager in football, but he's turned down during his career bigger offers to stay at the club and to try and do what he feels is right. And
Why?
Because I genuinely...
Why he turned down? What do you think?
Why do I think he's turned them down? Because I genuinely think he wants to do well with Arsenal. And that's why I honestly believe that if we fail to come in the top four this season, mm-hmm. and I think that is how he measures success, and I think to some degree it's not incorrect. I think he will walk away. I think he'll say for the best...
himself.
Yeah, I think he'll walk away. And I think the board will let... Well, and I think even if the board say, we want you to go, I think they'll let him walk away. You know, they won't sack him. They'll say to him, look, if you don't... You know, they'll make it clear to him that...
Of course.
The most respectable way for him to leave would be just to walk away. And I think he would do that. And I know he says he never breaks a contract, but I think, you know... The players, I think one thing that's difficult for fans, and you know, we all know it's the case, but it's very difficult for fans because they know that when your team loses, it obviously gets to you more than the players. And I just honestly believe that with Wenger, it gets to him. You know, it clearly doesn't bother Santi Cazorla if Arsenal lose to Bradford. I think he was probably just worried that his feet were getting cold. I that's not an attack on Santi Cazorla, that's the modern footballer. But I think mm-hmm. it genuinely gets to Wenger when we lose. And I'm, you know, as much as people are having a go at him and the press having a go at him, I'm sure he's also his harshest critic. And I'm not, and again, you know, that sentiment, and that's not a reason for him to stay at the club. But I personally believe he's the best man for the club.
For the, what do you mean, best man for the club? In which terms?
I don't think.
As a manager? Or
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, as a manager.
So you don't want him to go?
I don't. I say, I think, you know, clearly in the last few weeks have been very difficult. You know, and I say I've been to the majority, I said, not Bradford, I've been to the majority of the games and it's been very difficult and the fans have found it very difficult and rightly so they're getting frustrated. As you rightly say, they pay a lot of money, and many of them to travel to every game. You know, if you would have gone to Olympiacos to see mm-hmm. the team perform mm-hmm. and the way they sort of just fell apart, you know, rightly frustrated, rightly angry, but I just feel at the end of the season we will be in what is, you know, what will be a good position, I think, third or fourth still. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's difficult because this is a club that, you know, I say I my sort of conscious memory of, you know, of being an Arsenal fan is since Wenger. So when I was much, you know, when I was younger, it was, we were always there or thereabouts. And I appreciate that for fans that have been supporting the club longer. I mean, my dad often tells me about how, you know, he used to go to, he went to a game where we drew with Birmingham 0-0 away when we were fighting for relegation. They came out celebrating like they'd won the league. You know, so we haven't always been a successful club, but clearly in recent times, and on the whole, we've been one of the successful clubs in this country. And it's a difficult time at the moment. But, you know, I think Wenger's the best manager to see us through it at the moment.
Okay. Statement number four, not the last one. There are a lot of managers in the world who would be able to compete for fourth place on $235 million budget. Do you agree?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was actually having this very debate with my brother the other day saying, you know, Wenger has got an average team and he does well with them. Is it any different to someone like Martinez who's got, at Wigan, who's got a very poor team and he keeps managing to keep them up? You know, is he not doing a similar sort of thing? He's also selling his best players. You know, Roder Yeager's left, Moses mm-hmm. has left, mm-hmm. You know. And I think his suggestion was, you know, would we, you know, he also plays a nice style of football. Could we not have a manager that would cost us probably a quarter, if not less, of the price of Wenger? To the job. I personally don't agree with that. I think I'm a huge believer that sometimes things just fit with regard to managers and players. I mean, if you look at someone like Kaká, for example, mm-hmm. you know, when he went to Real Madrid, I think he was a huge disappointment at first. And again, it looks like that, you know, they might get rid of him because, you know, at AC Milan, the team was built around him. He'd been there for years. He knew, you know, he knew everyone at the club, you know, the the dinner ladies in the you know, in the canteen, that sort of thing. You know, he knew everyone. He'd grown up there largely, and everything was built around him. When you leave that sort of setup, I think it's very difficult. Now, I know Martinez has been at other clubs, but you know, Wigan now is all about Martinez in the same way that possibly incorrectly, you know, Arsenal is all about Wenger. You know, there is probably does have too large a say and too much control and not enough of a check on his, you know, on his views. But I just think it's too easy to say, oh, well, look at Vyas Boas. You know, Porto was clearly a fantastic fit for him. Chelsea clearly wasn't. You know, yet to see it at Spurs. But personally, I think he's a bit too tactical for the league. I think the league's a bit more sort of hit and hope than the way he likes to play his football. But you know, certain managers fit certain styles and certain ways. I think for a manager to come in after Wenger, I mean, it's going to be difficult for whoever it is. I just think it's difficult to say that, you know, someone would be able to come in on that budget compete, because, you know, as I said earlier, we have that budget and we should do more to spend it. Clearly, you know, I'm not disagreeing with that, but the idea that we would get everyone we wanted is just unrealistic. You know, Arsenal are now in a position where they will get the best of the rest. And, you know, I know Jovinho's not been everyone's cup of tea, but, you know, Jovinho was one of the two best players in France when we bought him, and Hazard. Chamakh was the top scorer in France when we bought him. Giroud, you know, it's still early days. I think he shows, personally, some very good signs and some very bad signs. You know, he was the top scorer in France. But we're buying the best player in one of the worst leagues. You know, Cazorla was one of the, you know, was a medium club in one of the best leagues. So, you know, we're that's the sort of tier we're in now. And I think to suggest that we would be able to go and do what, you know, United have done to us, taking Van Persie and that sort of thing, I just don't think even with the money we have, it's going to happen.
Okay. So are there a lot of managers in the world who would be able to compete for fourth place on 2-3-5 million budget? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay. And the last statement, Oliver. Do you heard what Tom Fox said? That winning isn't everything. This is our commercial director.
Yeah.
Did you hear him?
I've yeah. heard other
okay.
things that he said.
Do you agree with him?
No, I mean, clearly not. Winning is, to the fan, is absolutely everything, you know. Chelsea have sold whatever soul they had, which, to be fair, wasn't much, to win things. Would I swap with them? Would I be the laughingstock of the Premier League to have been Premier League double winning, Champions League winners? Of course I would. You know, I know, you know, the online Gooner well. They've got a post on their website at the moment saying, you know, would you rather have one manager in 7 years but no trophies, or seven managers in 7 years and seven trophies?
Definitely seven managers and seven
exactly
trophies.
of course and, you know, as much as I love Wenger and I love what he's done for the club, of course, you know, we want to win trophies. You know, we're used to winning trophies,
and before Wenger we used to winning trophies.
Before Wenger, yeah, of course. You know, I say Wenger definitely had a purple patch for the history of the club, but, you know, we have always, you know, there's not, I think pretty much in every decade we have won a major trophy of some sort. I think maybe barring the one decade, I can't remember. But, you know, we've always been winning leagues. We've always won cups. I don't, you know, winning is everything. But I think at the same time, you know, if I can pose a question back to you, would you rather win the FA Cup and come 10th this year or come 4th?
I don't know this place. I don't understand the trophy fourth place. I cannot recognize it. I know the one place is the first. This I understand. First place. If you qualify to Champions League and you try to qualify, it means that you want to win this Champions League, not to get money in your budget, but to win this league. And Arsenal has zero chances to win Champions League. So I don't care about qualification to Champions League.
No, I agree with you. It does seem, you know, it seems quite strange that, you know, we're qualifying to make money to qualify. Yes, yeah, that is the wrong, like you say. Yeah, that's wrong. It should be we're qualifying to win it.
Win it.
To qualify.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But the fact, you know, I just think, you know, Liverpool have won the Champions League since us, and you know they won the League Cup last year, but they're struggling and their fans are unhappy, and you know. I'm not saying that fourth is a trophy. I won't say that, you know, the Wenger cliche. But I just feel to be sustainable in this Premier League and to constantly be at the top, you do need the money that comes from the Champions League. Now, I agree, there's no point getting money just to come fourth, just to get money. I agree with you. It has to be to push on, to fight for first place, to fight for the Champions League. But, you know, I think there's a real danger of, think, you know, I just don't think the cups. I would personally rather come fourth than win the FA Cup, because I think that means next year we're more likely to be nearer the top of the table again. And I think once you're out of that, I mean, look at Liverpool, look at Leeds. Leeds got to a semi final. They put everything on mm-hmm. getting to the semi final to win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. They're now in the Championship. So you know, you have to. Obviously, you have to take risks in order to win, but it's not guaranteed to work.
Of course, there is no guarantee in this world. Only in heavens you can find guarantees.
True.
In this world, you have to risk. Okay, Oliver, the final question to you. Very obvious. There are two groups now, two separated groups of Gunners. Arsene must go, and Arsene knows best. Where are you personally?
I think unfortunately it's become a very heated battle that's definitely polarized opinion.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It almost feels like you have to fall in one of those two camps.
Yes.
If I had to fall into one of those,
yes,
two camps,
you have to. Already.
I would be in the, you know, the Arsene knows best, Arsene must stay camp.
Okay.
Having said that, he's clearly making more mistakes than he used to. He's clearly not learnt from some of the mistakes that he's made, because he's making the same again. But I think he's the best man for the job, to be the manager.
Okay, on this optimistic note, we will finish our podcast. Oliver, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I will definitely call you again at the end of the season, and we will discuss the reality at the end of the season, okay?
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Goodbye.